This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, as we continue with the series called Building My Life on Values That Last, Rick shows us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a hands-on resource that will help you develop and apply God's values in your life. It's called the Building My Life on Values That Last Guided Experience Book. And you can take a quick look right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called Offering Forgiveness.
Now, how would it be if I walked into Oklahoma City, held a press conference, and say, I, Rick Warren, publicly forgive and announce that Timothy McVeigh is forgiven? I'd be wrong. Why? Because he didn't hurt me. None of my family was killed or maimed or wounded. Only the people who've been harmed, only the victims, only the offended have the right to forgive. Does that make sense? Now, a few years ago, there was a well-known religious leader who had a moral failure. And that church started planning a restoration process. And before they could even do that, another leader took this man, added him to his staff, publicly said he's forgiven, and put him back on the radio and short-circuited the restoration process. Now, that was wrong. It was wrong for two reasons. He made two mistakes. Number one, he didn't have the right to forgive that man. Only the offended congregation had the right to forgive that man because that's who he'd offended. And number two, he misunderstood and confused forgiveness with restitution or restoration. You see, a lot of Christians don't understand this. They say, well, if I see a Christian leader and he really blows it and has, like, for instance, a moral failure, and then he says, I'm sorry, that we should just let him keep on going the way he's going. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that trust must be rebuilt and that a man must be proven faithful. And so you don't automatically restore a person to a position just because he says, I'm sorry. He has to earn that trust again because leadership is built on trust. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible teaches. And so it is not a matter of restoring of trust. The third thing forgiveness isn't, is forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without any changes. And a lot of people worry about this too. They think, oh, well, if I forgive somebody, then I just have to accept them back just the way they are and let them continue to hurt me. No, you don't. Forgiveness is not the same as a reunion of a relationship. You see, forgiveness is what you do if you're offended. But if the relationship's going to be restored, the offender has to do three things. There has to be repentance, genuine repentance. There has to be restitution where possible. And there has to be a rebuilding of trust over a period of time. Now, you need to forgive whether they ever do that or not. But forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. In fact, you can forgive in secret. You can forgive without them even knowing about it. Why? Because forgiveness is what you do, not what they do. And your forgiveness is not to be based on their response, whether they ask for it or not, whether they accepted it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not. You forgive because God's forgiven you, resentment doesn't work, and you need forgiveness yourself. And to resume the relationship, the offender must do these other things. On the back of your outline, the four things you do in order to experience the freedom of forgiveness, you have to do these four things. Number one, recognize we're all imperfect. That's the first step. Recognize we're all imperfect. You see, when we hate somebody, we tend to lose our perspective about them. And when we're filled with resentment, and when we're filled with bitterness, and when we're filled with hurt, we tend to dehumanize the offender. We treat them like an animal. We demonize them. We forget that they're a human being too. And the fact is, we're all sinners. We're all capable of hurting others. In fact, let me say it this way. Every one of us have intentionally wronged other people in our lives. Oh, not the same degree, not even in the same way. But you have been selfish in your life, and so have I. And you have intentionally hurt people, and so have I. So we're all in the same boat. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 7. There's not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins. And so we're all imperfect. And they are not an animal, but they are a human being. They are an offender, and they have wronged you, and that's serious. We're not minimizing it, but they're not an animal. The second thing is I relinquish my right to get even. I relinquish my right to get even. Now, this is the heart of forgiveness. This is what forgiveness is all about. The Bible says in Romans 12, 19, would you read it with me? Never avenge yourselves, leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. The second step in forgiveness, and what forgiveness really is when I say, I give up my right to get even with you. You deserve to be hurt back, but I'm not going to do it. You deserve to be retaliated against, but I'm not going to do it. You deserve to be punished, and I deserve to get even, but I'm going to give up that right. You say, Rick, that's unfair. And you're right, it is. But who said life is fair? God never said life was fair. Folks, this is not heaven. This is not a place of perfection. This is a place where people sin, where people make mistakes. I do, you do, and everybody else does. And life is not fair. There is not always justice in the world. There's a lot of injustice. But here's the good news. God says one day he's going to settle the score. One day God is going to balance the books. One day God is going to call in the accounts. One day God is going to even out the balance. And the Bible says, don't avenge yourselves. Don't try to get even. Leave it to God, for God has said he is going to repay those who deserve it. One day God's going to have the last word. In the meantime, you let go of your right to get the last word because it's making you miserable. Because your resentment doesn't work. And your resentment keeps you from being forgiven. And your resentment keeps you unhealthy, it's unreasonable, it's unhelpful. And so you say, let God be God. God, I'm going to let you settle this score. In the meantime, I'm going to release my right to get even, and I'm going to ask you to fill me with your peace. Now, how often do I have to do that? How often do I have to release my right to get even with the person who's hurt me? I'll tell you. As often as the hurt memory comes back. And every time you start to get resentful again, you have to do it again. You have to really, listen, forgiveness is not some one-time shot where you say, you're forgiven and you never think about it again. If you've ever been deeply hurt, you know that doesn't work. Because you could forgive a person and really mean it, and 5 minutes later or 5 seconds later, feel the pain again and going, I don't know if I want to forgive them or not. So you do it over and over and over. Forgiveness is not a one-shot deal. It is a repeated act of saying, I give up my right to get even. Jesus taught this. Notice what he says. Peter asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Peter thinks he's being real generous here. No, Jesus replied, 70 times 7. In other words, an infinite number. Don't even try to count it. Every time you're hurt, every time you remember that hurt, you must forgive them again until that you know you've released it. Now, it is not always advisable, it's not even always possible for you to go to that person and go back to the person who've hurt you. It's not even always advisable. They may be unaware. They may have changed. They may have remarried. Maybe it would make matters worse. They may have moved. They may have even died. And so sometimes you may have to use what I call the empty chair technique. And that's where you sit down a chair and you imagine that person there and you say, ex-husband or ex-wife or mom or dad or friend who betrayed me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive you. And I release my right to get even with you. Because I'm not going to carry the pain anymore. Because the longer I hold on to the pain, I'm still allowing you to control me. And I'm not going to allow you to control me anymore. And so I forgive you. And I'm letting it go. I'm walking away from it, and I'm not going to try to get even in my mind or anywhere else. You may need to write a letter, and then you tear up the letter. You never send it. But you release them. Why? So you can be free. So you stop letting people from your past continue to hurt you in the present. Then there's a third thing you do. Once I've recognized we're all imperfect and I've relinquished my right to get even, I respond to the evil with good. I respond to the evil with good. Now, how do you know when you've fully released someone? I'll tell you how you know. When you can understand their hurt and when you can pray for them. Notice what the Bible says in Luke 6. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Now let me tell you something. There's no way you can do that verse on your own power. Humanly speaking, you can't do that 1,000 times a day. Humanly speaking, you don't have enough love and forgiveness and joy in your life from the human standpoint to continually forgive everybody who's hurt you. It takes God's power. The only way you can do that is if you get Jesus Christ in your life and he fills you with his love and his peace and his forgiveness, because honestly, human love runs out. And you don't have it in your heart to do good to those who hate you continuously and to pray for those who have mistreated you continuously. The only way you can do it is if you say, Jesus Christ, fill my heart and life with your love. Why? Because look at the next verse. Because love keeps no record of wrongs. When you're filled with love, you're not keeping a record of wrong. That means if you're keeping a record of wrong, you're not filled with love at that moment. You're filled with hate. You're filled with bitterness. You're filled with resentment. And so don't pretend that you're filled with love, because you're not if you're keeping a record of wrong.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Today, so many people are confused about who they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives. That's because they're looking in the wrong places and living by values that are at odds with God's values. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together Building Your Life on Values That Last, that will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. This vegan leather-bound, full-color, beautifully illustrated guided study will reveal what God has to say about responsibility, trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. And it will help you to develop and apply God's values in your life. It'll show you practical ways to make the changes you need to get back on track. And here's the best part. You don't have to do this on your own strength. God will guide you every step along the way. Building Your Life on Values That Last is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, application exercises, and lots of space for you to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. This comprehensive study tool will help you go deeper as you follow Jesus. And it's yours when you support Daily Hope financially. Call 800-600-5004 right now to get yours, or go to PastorRick.com. And when you sign up to be a partner in Hope, we'll send you a special gift to welcome you to the Daily Hope family. That's 800-600-5004, or go to PastorRick.com. There are only 2 days left to get this great Bible study tool, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
If you want to experience the freedom of forgiveness, there's a fourth step, and you have to take this one too, and it's refocus on God's plan for my life. I stop focusing on the offense. I stop focusing on the hurt. I stop focusing on the person who has offended me. And instead, I begin to refocus on God's purpose for my life, which is greater than any problem or any pain that I'm experiencing. Now, as long as you continue to focus on that person who's hurt you, they control you. In fact, let me take it a step further. until you release that person, if you don't release your offender, you will begin to resemble your offender. It's a law of life that we become like whatever we focus on, forever good or bad. And people who say, I'm never going to be like my mother. Oh, yeah? I would never do that to my kids. Oh, yeah? I would never be like that person, that ex, what they did to me. I would never do that. But you continue to focus on it. And what you focus on, if you don't release it, you will begin to resemble. And the hate in your heart will eat you up. Now, Job, who had every reason to be offended and every reason to have resentment, gives us the three steps for refocusing your life in Job 11. Read it with me. Put your heart right, reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Now notice he says three things to do. Number one, you want to get total forgiveness first. Put your heart right. That means release and forgive the person who's hurt you. You say, I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Because God says to do it, and because you're only making yourself miserable holding on to the hurt. Then he says, reach out to God. That means ask Christ into your life, because you don't have enough power and love and forgiveness on your own to do good to those who hurt you. So you say, Jesus Christ, I'm reaching out to you. I don't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, Mormon, Buddhist, Baptist. You say, Jesus Christ, I'm reaching out to you, and I want a relationship with you. And fill me daily with your love, 1,000 times a day, if that's what it takes. Please do it. And then number three, it says, face the world again. You don't withdraw into a shell. You don't build up walls. You don't say, I'm never again going to let another man hurt me. I'm never going to open myself up to any relationship anymore. No way. That's dumb. Because you're cutting yourself off from love, and your heart will shrivel and die if you do that. No, you don't say, I'm a victim and I'm going to cave in and close and don't let anybody get touch me, and I'm going to be a porcupine and no more open up and no more intimacy and no more vulnerability. No, you face the world again and you resume living and you say, I'm not a victim. And with Jesus Christ's power, I'm going to start living again. And when you do those three steps, notice what it says. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory, like floods that are past and remembered no more. The memory will fade. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like that memory, that hurt, to stop hurting you? It will, if you'll do what God says. Let's bow our heads. Regardless of how you've been wronged, Jesus Christ can make the rest of your life the best of your life. Say, dear God, I admit that I've been hurt by other people, and my resentment has made me act in ways that's been unreasonable and unhelpful and even unhealthy. Would you give me the power to release and forgive those who've hurt me so I can stop letting them control me? Would you please replace my hurt with the peace of Jesus Christ? And by the way, God, I realize I've hurt others with my habits and hang-ups. Would you help me make a list of those I've harmed, and in the right way, at the right time, to humbly seek to make amends? Jesus Christ, I want to refocus my life on you, and I want to face the future courageously. I reach out to you today, and I want you to put my heart right, and I want you to help me to face the world again so that that memory can fade from my mind. If you've never asked Christ into your life, say, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, please come into my heart and life and be number one. Make yourself real to me. As much as I know how, I ask you to take over the controls of my life and lead me and guide me and fill me with your love. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining for today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, so many people are confused about what they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives. That's because they're looking in the wrong places and living by values that are at odds with God's values. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together a new resource that will help you develop and apply God's values in your life. It's called Building Your Life on Values That Last. This vegan leather-bound, full-color, beautifully illustrated guided study will reveal what God has to say about responsibility, trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. And it will show you practical ways to make the changes you need to get back on track. And here's the best news. You don't have to do this in your own strength. God will guide you every step along the way. It's filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, application exercises, and lots of space to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. This comprehensive study tool will help you go deeper as you follow Jesus. And it's yours when you support Daily Hope financially. And when you sign up for the convenient automated monthly giving, we'll also send you an added special gift to welcome you to Pastor Rick's Partner in Hope family. Call 800-600-5004 or just go to PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. There's only 2 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, we get letters and emails from people all around the world and from all ages. And here's one that I got from a listener in Indonesia. His name is Stephen, and he's 12 years old. He wrote, Dear Pastor Rick, thank you for the powerful way that you've impacted my life. I'm just a 12-year-old schoolboy in Jakarta, Indonesia, but I listen to the broadcast every morning on the way to school. My life has changed completely this year. I'm at a new school, and my family's just about recovered from some financial problems, but I'm still having to learn a whole new way of life. Some days I really feel bad, and I ask God to help me. But then the Daily Hope broadcast comes on the radio, and you always say something that helps me feel better, and I know that at that moment, God is trying to speak directly to me through you. So thank you ever so much. Well, thank you ever so much, Stephen. I love hearing from people like you, literally all around the world, who've been impacted through Daily Hope. You know, by the way, I want to thank all of those of you who support us regularly with your financial gifts every month. We can't do this without you. But because of you, we're able to minister to people like this 12-year-old boy, Stephen, in Jakarta, Indonesia. You're never going to know this side of heaven the number of lives that you have impacted because of your gifts to Daily Hope. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When we get to heaven, we're all going to rejoice and see the results there.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.